Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Present Senator Stedman, Senator Keel, Senator Kopman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Senator Hoffman. Senator Olson is excused, and Senator Merrick will be arriving a little bit late. We have one item on today's agenda, that being HB 78, Retirement Systems, a defined benefit option. This is the second hearing on the bill. I invite Representative Kopp to the table to briefly reintroduce what the legislation does.
Thank you, Chair Hoffman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I really appreciate the opportunity to give a recap to the committee on what the bill does. Mr. Chairman, this bill is about giving the legislature a full picture of our present workforce instability and a responsible and actuarial sound solution to that. It's not about moving backward. It's about applying lessons learned to design a fiscally responsible shared risk system that improves recruitment, strengthens our retention, and protects the state's long-term financial position. It balances workforce needs with fiscal guardrails. And at its core, it's about fiscal and workforce stability. Those two things are directly connected. We've all seen the data from much testimony, even in front of this committee, that we do have ongoing persistent recruitment and retention challenges across state government, in our schools, and in our public safety communities. Agencies are still carrying significant vacancies, and we are spending more on overtime, training, and contracting. Meanwhile, our institutional knowledge, as our state auditor has told us, is walking out the door, and audit findings are increasing as our experience declines. The point is, Mr. Chairman and committee members, is this instability has a significant cost, even if it doesn't always show up as a line item. So the bill, House Bill 78, proposes a forward-looking solution. It establishes a modern shared risk defined benefit tier for new hires only. And let me be clear about what it does not do. It does not reopen the old unfunded liability, and it does not create the past structure which led to underfunding. The legacy liability remains closed and separately financed. What House Bill 78 does do is it creates a new tier built with actuarial discipline and shared responsibility and full funding from day one. Employees contribute a fixed percentage of pay. Employer contribution rates are structured and predictable, and the plan incorporates shared risk mechanisms. If the actuarial experience deviates from the assumptions, adjustments occur within the contribution framework before a structural imbalance develops. So the risk is not borne solely by the employer. It is shared by employees, employers, and retirees. It is built using conservative actuarial assumptions and is evaluated annually through multiple independent actuaries that are transparent in their reporting processes to this body. This is not a system of 20 years ago. It's a modern design informed by what we have learned. So from a finance perspective, the key question is sustainability. Actuaries have modeled this tier and have found that the normal cost is funded annually as is recommended by best actuarial design and principles, and it is specifically structured to avoid creating new unfunded liability when funded as intended, which we've heard from our actuary. Beyond sustainability, the final issue, Mr. Chairman, is cost efficiency. Defined benefit systems, which we will hear soon from Dr. Teresa Giller-Ducci, when properly funded and professionally managed, deliver retirement income more securely than individual defined contribution accounts. Dr. Giller-Ducci, who will be speaking immediately after me, is actively working in a bipartisan manner to reform national retirement policy, which President Trump just mentioned in his State of the Union address. She will walk through the cost comparisons for the committee and explain how this shared risk defined benefit structure can reduce long-term costs while maintaining fiscal discipline. Her analysis is not just on benefits, but on efficiency, and it examines how retirement dollars are delivered at lower aggregate costs through pooled systems. And following that, we'll hear from our Alaskans, our teachers, our public safety people and other young people who are trying to build a career here in Alaska but need long-term security to do so. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a quick overview, and Dr. Ghilarducci is online.
Thank you for that update. Does any member of the Senate Finance Committee have questions of the prime sponsor? Seeing none, we will go to invited testimony and hear from Dr. Teresa Ghilarducci. She is the professor of economics at the New School for Social Research. Doctor, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, sure. I'm very sorry I'm not with you in person today. There's been a lot of work around retirement policy, and I just couldn't get away. I am Teresa Ghilarducci. I'm a professor of economics at the New School, the New School for Social Research. I'm calling from Phoenix because I'm on research leave at Arizona University. And I also taught for 25 years at the University of Notre Dame in Southern Indiana. Before I start talking about all these numbers, I want to tell you why I, as an economist, are with you today. Your actuary does what the actuary does well, but actuaries can only, by profession, do one thing. And as an economist, I do others that should be relevant for your public policy decision. As an economist, I look at dynamic scoring. I look at past evidence and logical causation chains to infer behavior and cost because of the way retirement systems are designed. They are not just ways to pay people. Like a dollar in wages is not the same as a dollar in pensions, because retirement systems, a pension plan, is designed to incent certain kinds of behavior. They structure incentives, they signal expectations. Defined benefit plans are built to reward long tenure. The benefits grow with years of service and final salary. Defined contribution plans are structurally designed not to incent attachment. They're portable savings accounts. Once vested, employees can withdraw, and long service really has no reward. What I found is that in Alaska, the administrative data over the years has shown that after your system was changed from a DB to a DC system, there have been substantial withdrawals from employment. Lots of articles about it, lots of local knowledge that you have, but it's not a surprise from someone looking at the data and looking at the structure, because the structure of a defined contribution plan actually encourages exit and turnover. When many people cash out early, we have knock-on effects. Turnover rises, operating costs increase, the dynamics at the workplace in terms of morale and other kinds of losses because of training incurred. And early withdrawals has another knock-on effect for a community, and that if people stay there and withdraw early, they risk having inadequate retirement income. So those are the broad context in which I have been working for 42 years in looking at optimal pension policies. But today, what I'm doing for you is what your actuary couldn't, is that I'm adding to the fiscal question that you have to face. You know, what are the costs and benefits of changing back to a DB system or to the new DB system? So I ask what the current total cost of your DC system is, and then you can assess whether or not those total costs exceed the projected $89 million cost of HB of 78. So, Julian, can you advance it to the next slide, to slide two?
Yes.
So, as you know, the actuarial report about HB 78 projects that It will cost $89 million in additional annual retirement contributions. And that number is substantial. It adds more benefits, especially if it does everything it's supposed to do, which is to really halt this turnover and everybody participates. So $89 million is the top estimate. But as I said, actuarial reports only measure contribution mechanics, and they don't include dynamic savings created when the DB system comes in and improves retention. So that the correct comparison is not $89 million versus, you know, what you have to spend now, $89 million extra. It's $89 million versus the current cost of excess workforce stability, which includes the premium pay and then I will add in the excess hiring and training costs that come from the excess turnover. And I am going to bring in research on the comparisons between the rate of return of defined contribution plans over time versus the rate of return on DB plans. And we found for over 40 years, the DB plan actually earns a superior fee-adjusted, risk-adjusted rate of return. So slide three, please. So you've been watching, what I saw is that your premium pay has been rising substantially. There's been a 79% increase in the last 5 years, from $84 million in fiscal 20 to almost $150 million to fiscal 25. What's alarming to me is that spending by January 2026 has already been $113 million when, in fact, it was budgeted for $200 million. So it's already kind of above trend. Now, not all of these premium costs are caused by excess turnover. So what I had to do was to get a baseline for what routine overtime and hazard pay and other kinds of premium pay would be. And so I took your own estimate of that being $60.7 million. So what this implies is that Alaska is spending roughly $140 million in premium pay due to excess vacancy-driven premium pay. Now, premium pay is not a pension cost, so the actuary didn't put that in their estimations. Gallagher couldn't use that. But it is the operating cost of chronic understaffing, much of it caused by your pension design. And as you can see, as you know, the premium pay growth is really concentrated in mission-critical agencies, which signals that much of the induced turnover is happening in those mission-critical agencies, as Representative Kopp had mentioned. Transportation, public facilities, corrections, natural resources, and also education are showing a very, very high increases in premium pay. Slide four. There's some other assumptions that I talked about last year when I did meet you in person. What is the cost of turnover in any employer? And there is about 80 years of economic research trying to answer that question, because every employer really wants to know, how much do I save if I can have loyal employees and keep the ones that I hired? Which is the flip side of the question of how much money am I spending because I have constant turnover. So there is a deep, deep literature on what it costs employers. And I spent a lot of time in my previous studies for you to try to review that literature and get an estimated cost for Alaska. And what the what the rule of thumb is that the turnover cost, when you add them all up, which is the cost of finding someone, onboarding them, and dealing with the losses you have when they turn over, is equal to about an annual salary. And so taking your data, you have over 30,000 employees, the average salary is about 69,000. I am looking at your turnover rate, and it's conservative, it's at 6%. Your annual replacement costs are $124 million. And that includes, as I said, recruitment, onboarding, training, and just separation processing. Now, if your pension design reform reduce that turnover, and I'm using the conservative assumption that it reduces it by half, kind of getting it back to normal, then your annual savings would be $60 million. And that really is a conservative estimate, because I don't include these other costs that employers have reported and economists have estimated. And that is this huge morale decline that happens when your existing employees have to continually train newbies. And it's frankly demoralizing when you train and train a newcomer kind of only knowing that they're going to leave soon. And there's also lots of evidence to show that it's demoralizing because the experienced employee is always working with someone who doesn't know anything. So they become increasingly the only experienced person with any kind of deep knowledge. Slide five, please. So adding to that excess premium pay and adding to the turnover costs that due to that excess turnover, I also add the investment return differential between a DB and a DC plan. And this research has been done over and over again, and it shows that DB plans earn a superior, stable, higher rate of return than the DC plans. And it really makes sense, because a DB plan can hold a lot of diverse assets. They can hold assets that aren't marked to market, as well as mutual funds. And it's run by professionals, so you get closer to the efficient frontier, of a portfolio matched to your liabilities. Whereas individuals on their own, picking a portfolio is not going to be efficient. It's going to be high priced, and it's only for a short term for assets that have a market to market, so they're highly liquid. So you lose a lot when you have those characteristics. And so I stepped back from that finding, looked at Alaska, and because your pension assets are in DC portfolios, your difference is $14 million per year in the foregone investment earnings if all those assets had been in a regular DB plan. So there's efficiency losses when you go from a collectively invested plan to these individual directed accounts. And that's not due to your workforce instability. That's just caused by your design. All right. So stepping back, I want to then now compare the costs and benefits. This is exactly what you have to do. You have this bill in front of you that costs $89 million, and you have to really weigh all the savings that you might have. So here they are. You'll save $140 million, I estimate, with not having to pay excess premium pay. You'll save $62 million because you don't have those excess turnover replacement costs. and you will net $14 million because you will earn a higher rate of return on every dollar Alaska spends on pensions. So the savings is $216 million, and you subtract that $216 million from the $89 million that you're going to spend extra, and you actually save $127 million. And there aren't a lot of places in public policy that if you spend money, you save almost, you know, you save almost a dollar. You spend a dollar, you actually save more than a dollar. So here is where you're spending money to save money. And if you don't like my conservative assumptions and you want to make them even more conservative, you can cut my estimated cost savings by half to $108 million, and you still get savings of $19 million. So I've done these calculations over and over again, and it's just quite remarkable. By changing your pension system, you will very likely save millions of dollars. I'm also being very conservative here because I don't include those other real costs, but ineffable to measure costs of the productivity gains you'll get when people stay longer on the job, the morale gains you'll get from the incumbent workers who don't have to continually train newbies. And the last time I testified before you, I really spent a lot of time on the economic spillovers you get when a public sector workforce is stable. And that's because businesses will improve their view of Alaska as having a good business climate, because the public workforce is stable, the education system is stable, and that the government works well. You know, from processing, traffic tickets, to running the corrections correctly, to even processing permits. And last time I spoke to you, it's in my testimony, I compared Alaska's business climate, you know, with the lower states that compare, with Wyoming and other states that have a much more stable workforce, and Alaska has really, really devolved its business climate in terms of the effect of the public sector quality and business location decisions. So slide 7, I can conclude here so that you'll have some time to ask me questions, is that you have to, you don't have to do anything, but when looking at pension reform, you don't really just look at it as a pension expansion or a pension retrenchment or increases in what you pay and decreases in what you pay. Every employer looks at a pension in terms of a workforce development plan. And when you have a DB plan, you signal that workforce stabilization is your primary goal, or is a very important goal. So pension design affects retention, and then retention affects operating costs. Defined contribution plans are portable savings account. Once invested, people can withdraw and cash out. You're almost signaling that if they leave, you'll pay them something. Whereas defined benefit plans reward loan service. And that signals to any incoming and current employee that the Alaska is committed to them as an employee and supports experience-based productivity. Alaska's post-vesting withdrawals align with a higher turnover and higher operating costs. And just, I'll conclude, pension design and is not neutral, it either stabilizes the workforce and supports retirement security, or if it's designed another way, in a DC way, it accelerates turnover and it really shifts a lot of costs into the future and onto current employees and onto the agencies that have to deal with the turnover costs. So I'll stop there, and I welcome any questions that you might have.
Thank you for that presentation. Do members of the Finance Committee have any questions for Dr. Ghilarducci? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, Chair. Professor Ghilarducci, your conclusions in this is that overtime is being driven by a lack of personnel because of a lack of a defined benefit program. Have you looked at a defined benefit program as a driver for people to maximize their overtime, to increase their final years of pay and kind of the perverse incentive that creates?
Yeah, that was a big problem in some areas about 20 years ago, this kind of spiking that would happen. I worked with actually Governor Schwarzenegger in California and on his commission, because that seemed to be a big problem in some areas. And Alaska and other states have almost all stopped that from happening by making the pension based on not just like your year salary, you know, where people did like really spike up overtime, but over a 3 or 5 year period. And it also turned out to be a lot of workers really can't do that, that it's really usually management, the high paid management people that can control their overtime. So it was a problem in some areas about 20 years ago, but it has almost all disappeared by changing the rules and defined benefit plans.
Senator Kaufman?
Thanks. So your belief at this point is that it's not really a factor in our current overtime situation?
Not at all. We've learned from mistakes.
Senator Kaufman?
A different line of questioning. So everything that I've read about hiring these days is that what the younger folks are looking for is not a pension, that they don't prefer that option. What they prefer is a well-matched defined contribution program. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I've studied that a lot, and actually what I've testified before the U.S. Congress, that was an issue, you know, for the panel. You know, what do workers want? And it turns out that more and more workers now, Gen Z and millennials, are very financially literate. They're much more literate than our generation, or people before that. They've gotten financially mature a lot quicker than we all did, and they really value having money set aside for them that they can't touch, and they really don't want to be peripatetic, to go from employer to employer. They're looking to land in a stable situation. They know that this all, I have footnotes for all this, but it comes from surveys. What they want from a job is development. They want their skills developed, and they know that they have to stay at a job in order to get those kind of special skills. And we also see that turnover has not really increased that much. There's been lots and lots of actuarial numbers. It's easy to see is that there, for the past 80 years, turnover has not increased that much because larger workers, women and other workers, minority workers, are staying longer in the job. Women especially are staying attached to the labor force for their whole careers. So for women workers, turnover has gone way, way down. That might be a longer question than you wanted, but it, from all the survey work, there is really no evidence that younger workers prefer a kind of peripatetic mobile workforce. Also, I've done ethnographic research with an anthropologist where we've interviewed maybe women workers who very much want a protected retirement account because their 401k or their defined contribution is used by the household as kind of a family emergency fund, and they're very well aware that as they nick at their own 401k or they withdraw in order to meet the family needs, that that is hurting them in the future. So they actually prefer a defined benefit plan or a stronger Social Security system.
Senator Kaufman.
Do you have any independent studies that can provide additional data on some of the major assumptions in your presentation? And I would look for something that not necessarily produced by yourself in advocating for this, but collected studies that show, again, the contrary to the demographic curve that I've seen, where younger folks don't want a defined benefit plan, but you're asserting that they do. I'd like to see that information.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, except for the study that I just mentioned, where we interviewed women workers, all my assumptions are from other studies, and I will absolutely love to share those studies with you.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Further questions of the professor? Seeing none, we will go to public testimony. There are over 30 individuals that are signed up. I am going to strictly adhere to a two-minute schedule. If you go over the 2 minutes, because there are so many people that want to testify, I strongly advise you to keep it to 2 minutes or under. Otherwise, we will move on to the next testifier. So be cognizant of that fact. 2 minutes strictly adhered to. The first individual to testify will be Hillary Wood from Petersburg. We'll open the public hearing. Ms. Wood,
thank you.
Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Okay. My name is Hillary Wood, and I am here representing myself. I work for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Petersburg, and I've worked for the state since 1992. I have 29 years of service in, and personally, I am a Tier 2 employee. I work in an office that has, over the years, become predominantly Tier 4 employees, and I am here to advocate for them because they are smart, capable, hardworking folks who deserve better. The reason I am still here 29 years later is in large part because I knew all along I was working towards a defined benefit pension that I can count on in my old age. It is shameful that most of my coworkers have not been given that same guarantee of a reliable retirement income. No pension and no ability to pay into Social Security has been terrible for their morale. It all feels like a slow-moving train wreck. The number of Tier 2 and 3 employees, of which I am one, in the state workforce is, of course, every year decreasing. We are the core group that fills in the gaps, covers the job responsibilities of vacant positions, and carries forward our institutional knowledge as the responsibilities of vacant as the state struggles to hire and keep people. We stick around because we care about the work we do, but also because the promise of a good pension helps keep us motivated through these tough times. But eventually we will be gone, and all that will be left is Tier 4 employees who don't have that incentive. And I talk with them about this topic often, and they care deeply about, in my case, as Fish and Game, sustainably managing fish and game resources, but they do not feel the state of Alaska cares about them in return. We need to change that and give them a reliable, defined benefit pension. Otherwise, we will continue to hire bright, motivated people who we invest years of training in, who leave after a few years, taking all their knowledge and training with them. And the slow-moving train wreck that I referred to will begin to move faster until we reach the point where essential state services start to fail because we cannot hang on to talented public servants. I ask you to please support House Bill 78. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to the room. Randy Sutek. Please come forward, followed by Demi Rose. Please, both of you, come to the table with Randy first.
Good afternoon. My name is Randy Sutak. I'm here representing myself, although I am an employee of the state. I work at DOT. I wanted to stand up and give a round of applause after the doctor gave her presentation. I'm a student of economics. I enjoyed what she had to say, the thoughtfulness. She covered most of the aspects of the psychological parts of being understaffed, as well as some of the problems that you face having that. So good job, doctor. We, day in and day out, we have vacancies. Day in and day out, we have deadlines. We dedicate ourselves to doing a good job for our employer. The reason we are here now is because of decisions made in the past. The fact that this bill has made it this far means that you all know that it's already an issue and it's a problem, and not to make this change is not a viable alternative, as the doctor pointed out. So many of the things I wanted to say, she said much better than I can. She said it with numbers, statistics, and seemed to be fairly objective about it. And I applaud the member of the committee here who asked for the studies that she's relying on to come up with those numbers. So, again, we can't ignore it. It is an issue. It is a problem. So thanks for letting it get this far, and thank you for taking it to the next level.
Thank you. We will have Demi Rose, please identify herself, and please come forward. Rockwell Kitka to the table.
Good afternoon. I'm Demi Rose Rockwell Kitka. Oh. I am an admin assistant for Department of Environmental Conservation. Chairs and members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. My family story is one that reflects the promise of Alaska's public workforce and the uncertainty that many of us now face without a secure retirement system. My brother and I immigrated to the United States from the Philippines in 2015. Like many immigrant families, we arrived with very little but carried deep belief in hard work and public service. My father found his first opportunity with the state of Alaska as a steward with the Alaska Marine Highway System. Through dedication of years of service, he worked his way up and eventually retired as a junior engineer under Tier 3. While his pension didn't make him wealthy, it gave him dignity. It gave him security, and it gave him the peace of knowing he would be okay after years of service. My brother and I followed in his footsteps to build a career with the state. He is now a junior engineer for the Alaska Marine Highway System, and I serve as an admin assistant for DEC. We are proud to continue our father's legacy of serving Alaska, but unlike him, we cannot look forward to retirement with the same confidence. Without a defined benefit pension, many of us worry that after decades of service, we still won't be able to afford to retire in the state we've dedicated our careers to. House Bill 78 is not just a policy change, it is a lifeline. It's a path to retirement and security that allows public employees like my brother and I to build a future here, to stay in Alaska, and to continue serving our communities without the constant fear that we will be left behind when we are no longer able to work. We need basic security that every public employee and teacher deserves after giving their best years in Alaska. A strong pension system helps recruit and retain the workforce that Alaska depends on. But for families like mine, it also represents something more personal. The chance to build a stable life in a state that we now call home. It's a difference between being able to stay in Alaska or being forced to leave when we're no longer able to work.
Thank you, Ms. Kitka, for that 2 minutes of testimony. We'll move on to Bill Butel, followed by Stephen Huerta. Bill, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Phil Butel. I'm the vice president of the Jess Labor Union here in the Juneau School District. I represent approximately 240-odd employees here in the district who are all classified employees, non-certified teachers, and so custodial staff, paraeducators, nurses, and so forth, maintenance people. So the work that I do, I've been here in Juneau for about 6 years, and I've been working in one of the special education programs in the district. And in the course of that 6 years, we've had 9 different teachers in that program. We have been put into a position where we've had to rely on teachers who are third-party contractors who are brought in from outside and asked to manage one of the most challenging programs in the district. You can imagine the instability and the cost that our children are paying because of our inability to retain effective staff. And there are a lot of reasons why that's been an issue. Wages in comparison to cost of living in Juneau just doesn't line up as well as it does in other areas of the country. But another part of the issue has been that we don't have a way to convince people who are coming into the district that it's worth sticking around, certainly in Alaska. And so if you're going to do the kind of work that we do and devote decades to doing this kind of labor, you have to know that those decades of work are going to pay off in the end, that after devoting your life to helping the children that we help, that job is then going to take care of you after that job is done. And right now that just isn't the case. With the retirement saving plans that we have in place, those are nice to have, but they're not reliable. And there's no guarantee that that money is going to be there, and there's no guarantee that it's going to last you until the end of your life. What we need is a pension plan. We need a way that people know that we'll be taken care of. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll have Stephen Huerta, followed by Jesse Sloan. Please, Stephen, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. My name is Stephen Huerta. I am from Palmer and currently live in Juneau, moving here in 2022. I'm representing myself, and I would like to speak in favor of HB 78. I am a lifelong Alaskan who has been an avid user and supporter of our marine and wildlife resources, constantly being involved in our resource use. And I also participated in advisory committees as a teenager and actively fished and hunted throughout my life. Growing up, I wanted to be a fishery biologist for Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I started working for the department in 2012 as a fisheries technician and continue to work for the department now as a biologist. Having spent the last 14 years working for the state, I love my job and find true meaning in it, but I'm at a point where I should be committing to moving up through the ranks and using my extensive experience in working to better the department and our state. However, I find myself in a situation where I have little to no tangible incentive to continue working for the state long term. I also have many friends and even a brother who have worked for the department over the years who are talented, passionate individuals. Many of them have moved on from state service, citing a lack of long-term incentive to continue working with the state. Reinstituting a state pension plan would help provide long-term incentive to keep high-quality candidates in their position working for the state of Alaska and would give me a legitimate financial reason to finish my career with the department. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Huerta. We'll hear from Jesse Sloan. Please identify yourself for the record.
For the record, Jesse Sloan. Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Jesse Sloan. I serve as the president of Local 4900, the supervisory unit, and I represent about 2,000 supervisors across the state of Alaska. I'm also a data analyst for the Department of Corrections, and I'm here today to speak in strong support of House Bill 78. When I talk to my fellow supervisors, those who have one of the defined benefit plans, they are thankful that they have it. And those who don't wonder how much longer they can justify dedicating themselves to a state that doesn't reciprocate that commitment. My father-in-law retired under the Tier 1 system, and now he and my mother-in-law live securely. They aren't wealthy, but they have what so many in my generation and those below fear they won't, a stable and dignified retirement. And that security didn't come from lucky investment. It came from a retirement system that honored long-term public service. Now, some have said that young people don't want pensions. I can only answer this anecdotally, but as a supervisor, I've dealt with a lot of churn in the state already, mostly with younger individuals. And I can say that when I've repeated the line that I've heard that you don't want a defined benefit, most of them have laughed at me. So one of them specifically said, why would I want to work for the rest of my life and not be able to retire? Which I think is a fair question. I don't think that desire for security is outdated. I don't think it's going away with the younger generation. And I think that hard work should be honored. And I believe that's a value we all share as Alaskans. I think as Alaskans, we believe in taking care of our own. We believe that if you dedicate your life to serving your community, to teaching kids, protecting public safety, managing critical infrastructure, you shouldn't have to fear poverty and old age. And as an analyst, I can say that the numbers bear this out, as Dr. Ghilarducci mentioned.
Thank you for your testimony.
I urge you to support this bill. Thank you for your time.
We'll move on to Anchorage, where we will hear from Jennifer Smits. Ms. Smits, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairs Hoffman, Olson, and Stedman, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Smits. I work with educators and school districts across Alaska through the Alaska Council of School Administrators and the Alaska Educator Retention Recruitment Center. I want to speak in support of HB 78 through the lens of educator retention. According to the Learning Policy Institute, districts spend approximately $20,000 to replace a single teacher. That includes retirement, hiring, onboarding, or recruitment, substitute costs and administrative time. In rural and remote Alaska, those costs are even higher. Turnover is not just disruptive, it's expensive. In rural remote Alaska, 55% of principals turn over. That instability impacts teachers, students, and entire communities. Over the last decade, I've watched many educators leave Alaska and some leave the profession entirely. I've seen strong educators drawn to other states because they could see long-term career paths there. In the TRR playbook and in research that we've done with educators, it's clear that restructuring retirement options is high on the list of things that will lead to increased retention of our educators. Because we can no longer consistently entice enough educators to come or stay in Alaska, districts have had to turn to international hiring to keep classroom staffed. Our international teachers are incredible assets. We are proud to support them, but the fact that we rely so heavily on global recruitment reflects the pressure in our in-state workforce, the pressure that our in-state workforce is under. We have incredibly young educators and military families who may not plan to stay long-term. Choice and flexibility matters for them, which this bill offers. We also have educators, however, who commit here. I am one of them. My husband and I built our careers here. When people choose Alaska for good, they deserve to be able to plan for their future with stability and confidence. Retirement security influences whether Alaska feels temporary or permanent. If we want our educators to plant roots, to leave schools over time, and to stay in our communities, we have to create systems that support long-term commitment. House Bill 78 supports that stability. When educators see a future here, they stay. When they stay, Alaska saves money, strengthens schools, and stabilizes communities. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony. We'll move to Fairbanks, where we'll hear from Valerie Thierin. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Hi, my name is Valerie Therian. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I am an attorney and longtime Fairbanks resident. I've lived here for 50 years, and I support this bill. I'm really concerned about not having Tier 1 benefits or anything equivalent for the teachers in our community and for our state and local employees. And although I'm on the Fairbanks City Council, I am testifying as a personal individual so that you understand that I support this bill and hope that you will pass it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to Wasilla. Mr. Mike Coons, please proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Thanks, sir. My name is Mike Coons from Wasilla, and I oppose HB 78. First major reason is that defined benefits didn't work in the past and cost the people of Alaska billions. Then this bill will add $7 billion in cost. Why? Is this just to pay off the public service union, to pay off the teachers' union? Yes, to both. Existing retirement is an employee contribution. The employee can contribute to SDS 6.13%, then the state matches 6.13%. So as a prudent person who wants a solid retirement, if I set aside 15% of my income, the state does 6.13%, that could be a nice bit of money that I can cost our average into a solid retirement. I have done this, and I've taken the responsibility to determine my funds to purchase and use the Roth IRA. Since I did this in 1987, I have averaged 12% return. That is my money, enough so to be in a prime retirement situation. Under this existing system, if an employee chooses low growth funds of 3 to 5% return, that is up to that person. Frankly, what I'm seeing is that this bill takes away good decisions by the employee while busting the state. I'm sure there are financial advisors for both public service employees. It's up to the employee to listen and act or not. I've heard stated in committee hearings that many teachers want out so they can get Social Security upon retirement, but the unions won't let them. That's why teacher unions are all for HB 78. That is up to the teachers to tell the unions to bug off. Lastly, for the House member from District 10, this bill would get more employees to stay in the state. Retirement isn't a major, reason people stay in a job for a 20-year-old. It is the job life, co-workers, job satisfaction. What is more demoralizing is if I know that I may well not get my retirement, because the plan will explode before I retire. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to the North Pole, where we will hear from Brian Zeisel. Brian, please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello, committee members. My name is Brian Zeisel. I live in North Pole, Alaska, and I'm here today to testify in strong support of HB 78. I speak to you today from two perspectives, as a retired Alaska State Trooper and as a current elementary school teacher. I served as an Alaska State Trooper until my retirement. I can tell you unequivocally that the reason I stayed in Alaska through the long hours and the challenges of that job was the security of my defined benefit pension. That pension was the anchor that kept me in Alaska. After retiring from the Troopers, I decided to pursue a second career in education. However, I want to be very clear with this committee. I would not be a teacher in Alaska today if I didn't already have my Trooper pension. Under the current TERS Tier 3 system, I see my colleagues struggling with a retirement plan that is basically a gamble. They can't rely on it to support them when they retire, and because of that, many are looking to leave. They aren't aiming to build a 20-year career here. They are seeking their next opportunity. Current data shows that Alaska's teacher turnover rate is nearly double the national average in our most vulnerable districts. We are currently the only state in the union that asks teachers to work without both a pension and Social Security. We are essentially functioning as a taxpayer-funded training ground for other state school districts. Data from the University of Alaska Institute of Social and Economic Research suggests a revolving door pattern. Teachers arrive, gain 3 to 5 years of experience, which is about the point where they become most effective, and then move to the lower 48, where they can secure a pension and Social Security. As a trooper, I stayed in this great state because I had a path to a secure retirement. My teaching colleagues deserve that same path. We are losing great teachers because almost 20 years ago, we stopped offering them a reason to stay. If we want a stable education system for our children, we need to provide a retirement system that offers actual stability. Please pass HB 78 to ensure our teachers can afford to make Alaska their forever home, just as I was able to do as a trooper. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Brian. We'll move to Utah, where we'll hear from Zachary Christensen. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you to the chair. My name is Zachary Christensen, and I'm a managing director at the Pension Integrity Project at Reason Foundation. My team conducts quantitative public pension research all over the country. We're a national think tank. We offer pro bono technical assistance on issues like this. And I just wanted to call in and share our thoughts and our analysis on this particular bill. We have modeled the state's two major plans. And according to our modeling, there is some significant costs that maybe aren't being considered that could be applied onto the state's budget. If everything goes as planned with this bill, it could end up costing $1.4 billion over the next 30 years. Everything going as planned means they get returns that are pretty lofty and high expectation at 7.25%. If things do not go as planned and as expected, this move could end up costing the state up to $7 billion or even more than that, really, over 30 years. So we would just like to advise lawmakers to keep in mind that in the past, the state has had issues with thinking something will cost a lower amount, and then it ended up being multiples of what was previously expected, and that will continue to be a risk here with this particular bill. And then just lastly, I wanted to mention that in the previous committee, there is an amendment passed that would remove the DT plan as an option for all new workers, and that would be something that would remove a valuable option for all new hires and would remove an option, a DC option, that would be more valuable and advantageous to the majority of new workers. So we would advise this committee to reevaluate that. And with that, I'll close out and just open for any questions if anyone has.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. We'll move back to Anchorage and hear from Michael Chambers. Please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Yes, my name is Michael Chambers, and I am testifying as an individual, but I also support the opposition of HB 78 by Americans for Prosperity. Considering our current physical circumstances, it would be foolhardy to consider spending extra money we don't have on a project which does not work. We continue to be millions of dollars in debt, attempting to pay back the last tourist escapade. The worst thing the legislature should do is to begin digging deeper in this financial hole, attempting to address a false argument of recruitment and retention. Perhaps potential candidates are not interested in relocating to Alaska because our public education model is currently a dumpster fire, ranking near the bottom nationally. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you. We'll stay in Anchorage and hear from Ray Craig. Ray, please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
My name is Ray Craig. I am in Anchorage, and I identify as a former president of Chugach Electric Association and currently chair of the Alaska Policy Forum Board, but I emphasize I am testifying entirely as an individual. Senators Ben Stevens and Bert Stedman were absolutely right to end defined benefit. They are Alaskan heroes for doing that and have saved the state untold hundreds of millions of dollars. Bringing back defined benefit is so bad that even the Anchorage Daily News editorial board is opposed to this. Some minor tweaks to the replacement defined benefit system may be a good idea, but not HB 78. Now, I listened very carefully to Dr. Ghilarducci's report earlier in this session of testimony, and she frequently used the word projections. And my experience is that when you hear projections in an environment like this, that is the road to financial disasters, which are paved with the use of projections, especially for any government highly subject to political pressures. So thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Ray. We'll go to Seward, where we will hear from Shane Hand. Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Yes, thank you very much, Co-Chair and committee members, for hosting this this meeting today. My name is Shane Hand, and I live in Seward, Alaska. Today I'm representing and speaking on behalf of the Seward Public Employees Association, Local 6585. I am here to testify in support of House Bill 78 and speak to my on my own behalf as far as security and my desire to dedicate a service and a career and ultimately my time. And I would like to be able to retire with a little bit of dignity and security. Not all of us are experienced in financial investment theory or skill sets. A lot of us are just people who are finished a career, and you know, whether it's working, working with your hands or working within schools or whatever. But not everyone has a chance to be 100% savvy when it comes to financial investments and managing what would be a 401k. So that in itself, you work your whole career, and at the end of it, you're handed a lump sum that now you have to either hire someone else to help you make it through your whole retirement, or it's a matter of stress of teaching yourself how to manage a financial account in that sense, where the defined benefit, it would be something that you could have be rest assured that the state or the organization or the municipality that you have dedicated your life to has your best interest in mind, and on your behalf, as you retire and you walk away into the sunset, if you will, you have a better people than yourself to manage your funds and hopefully and manage a pension that'll be there for you the rest of your life in retirement. And again, I thank you for your time and very much support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to Fairbanks, where we'll hear from Nina Huron. Please identify yourself and proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you. My name is Nina Heron. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm testifying as an individual. I work at DNR in Fairbanks. I'm a geologist. And I meet with a lot of younger people who come into our office and are very dedicated, hard workers. And I understand that they really want a retirement system. I don't know where it came from that they don't want to be able to retire. They do want to be able to retire. If they come in from the university directly, which a lot of these kids do, they won't be able to retire, to get Social Security when they retire, because they'll be working for the state. And the current system does not really allow a good retirement. I'm also a mother, and my son had a wonderful teacher. He actually had her for 3 years, so one of the best teachers I've ever seen. And she recently left the state because there wasn't a retirement system for her. And I think about all the kids in Fairbanks that will lose out in the future because there's not a real retirement system. And on top of everything else, we have data that shows that this saves the state money. So it makes no sense not to go ahead with HB 78. Because we have these significant retention issues. And I see throughout the Fairbanks, especially, that people spend so much time, workers spend so much time hiring people, rehiring people, training people, and it's a complete waste of state funds. And we're all dedicated to making the state a much better place and being as efficient as possible. And this is just inefficient. So I urge you to pass HB 78, not just for state workers, but for all of us, all the children and all the people in the state, because it's a fiscally responsible thing to do.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move to Kenai, where we'll hear from Rebecca Walker. Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Becca Walker from Kenai, Alaska. I'm a parent of two public school students, an educator, and representative of Kenai Peninsula Education Association. I'm here today to testify in strong support of House Bill 78. On the Kenai, we aren't just reading about the retirement experiment report. We're living through the consequences of its failure. For 20 years, we've treated our educators like seasonal labor rather than invested professionals, and our students are paying the price. We recently saw two of Alaska's Teachers of the Year, Ben and Catherine Walker, announce their departure from the state. When we lose Teachers of the Year, we aren't just losing a body in a classroom. We're losing mentors, institutional knowledge, and the heartbeat of our schools. In my very own district, I see brilliant young teachers arrive with fire in their eyes, only to realize that by year five, they have no path to secure retirement here. They look at their colleagues in the lower 48 who have defined benefit plans, and they realize that staying in Alaska is a financial risk they cannot afford to take. We are essentially a training ground for other states. The data backs this up. Last year, 17% of teachers and a staggering 27% of principals left their districts. In urban areas, the teacher turnover hit 30%. When turnover is high, proficiency drops. We know that districts with the lowest turnover see nearly double the reading proficiency of those with the highest turnover. Financially, this is a leak we cannot plug with one-time funding. It costs roughly $27,000 to recruit and train a single teacher. With 5,000 students starting this year without a certified teacher, we are effectively throwing millions of dollars away on a revolving door instead of investing money into a stable, pension-backed workforce. The divine contribution experiment has failed. It's time to return to a system that incentivizes staying over leaving. For the future of our students on the peninsula and across the state, I urge you to pass House Bill 78. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to Girdwood, where we'll hear from Lynn McNamara. Please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello, my name is Lynn McNamara, and I am a resident of Girdwood, Alaska. I was an educator, a teacher and librarian for 40 years. Am I on?
Yes.
Yeah, for years, Alaska's pension debate has been framed as a choice between fiscal responsibility and workforce stability. As a retired teacher and librarian who spent decades in Alaska's classrooms and libraries, I see that framing as a false choice. The education of our students shouldn't be pitted yearly against all the other needs or wants of our state. Recently, I was shocked to hear that over 5,000 Alaska children started school this year with no teacher assigned to them by the first day of school. I'm fortunate to have retired with the pension that provides the stability I need to stay in the state I love. But more importantly, I know that firsthand my students benefited from 40 years of experience surrounded by other lifelong educators who weren't constantly looking for the exit to support their families. The rate of turnover for Alaskan educators has decreased substantially since 2005, and so I'm looking carefully at this proposal to return to a more modest pension offering. Alaska is the only state where teachers have no pension, nor are they able to be a part of Social Security. This was not a decision they made. Recently, the Alaska Retirement Board presented an updated analysis that should fundamentally reset this discussion. The data confirms that two important truths are the financing framework has been corrected and the long-term investment assumptions underlying our retirement system remain sound. A common criticism of the defined benefit plan has been the 7.25 investment return assumption. Critics argue this is unrealistic. However, the board's long-term rolling return analysis told a different story. Over a 30-year period is a true time horizon for pension funding. Returns have averaged 7.9. This is not a projection. This is historic performance. Over decades, investment performance converges towards the long-term averages, making the current assumption conservative relative to our experience. And the second major criticism is that returning to a defined benefit structure is a key past mistake.
Thank you, Lynn, for your 2 minutes of testimony. We will move on to Seward, where we'll hear from Patrick Messmer. Patrick, please proceed with your 2 minutes of testimony.
Hi, my name is Patrick Messmer. I'm a retired police officer from Seward, Alaska, with over 25 years in. As a police officer, we take the risk daily. At one time in 2020, I found myself in a fight with a suspect where I had a gun pointed at my head before I was able to get control. I guess my point is there. First responders take necessary risks every day when we go to work. We shouldn't have to bear the financial risk of managing a 401 plan with no Social Security. It's not sustainable. I have seen personally since 2006 that our ranks have been decimated. We can't hire, we can't retain. And I may end up having to go back to help my department out a temp hire this summer because they can't fill the jobs that I left. I guess I'll just go to the end here. The public's got to answer a question, or the Senate does. I mean, do you want police officers? Right now, you're not going to get them with this. It's a joke of a retirement. That 401k is worthless. That's the end of my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Messmer. We'll go to Anchorage, where we'll hear from Penny Hagelson. Peggy, please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Well, my name is Penny Helgeson, and I am an ex-state of employee that enjoys a defined benefit retirement program. A little bit about my background. I came from Minnesota in 1990 to fill a position as a veterinary technician, which I had experience and training in. I was involved. I worked for a wonderful clinic that was also involved in some of the rehabilitation of the animals from the Exxon oil Valdez spill. I've lost my spot here. It was fascinating and rewarding work. My employer paid me fair wages, but no significant retirement benefits. I was 33 at the time. At age 40, I realized I would have to change careers. so that I could ensure a comfortable lifestyle in my golden years. After seeking the help of the state job service folks at the Department of Labor, I started taking the steps to become a public employee with the state of Alaska, mainly because of the stability, but most importantly, the defined retirement benefits. After being hired as a receptionist at the Department of Law Civil Division in Anchorage, through mentoring, additional college classes, and broad support from my colleagues, I worked my way up to becoming a paralegal in the workers' compensation section at the Department of Labor. I eventually became a workers' comp officer, too, in the reemployment benefits section, providing valuable services to employees who had been injured on the job. I was able to retire comfortably after nearly 20 years of service because of the defined contributions benefit system. I would have stayed longer, but I was experiencing the same overworking overload of having to train a revolving door of employees after the defined contribution plan came into effect, who moved on, got their experience,
Thank
got
you,
their training,
Penny,
got their knowledge.
Thank you, Penny, for your 2 minutes of testimony. We'll move on to Anchorage, where we'll hear from Brett Huber. Brett, 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senate Finance members. It's a pleasure to be with you today. For the record, my name is Brett Huber, and I serve as the Director for Americans for Prosperity Alaska. AFP is the premier center-right grassroots organization in America with over 20 million volunteer activists. On behalf of the many AFP volunteers and supporters in Alaska, we urge you to vote no on House Bill 78. In 2005, Alaska transitioned from a DB pension plan to a defined contribution plan, like a 401k. This important and timely change was made because the state had accrued an untenable amount of unfunded liability, and that legislature recognized we could no longer afford the previous system. It wasn't easy, and much good work was done at the very table you're all around today. Today, the state still carries over $6.1 billion in unfunded liabilities from its previous DB system, the 13th highest in the nation. Even with the $3 billion infusion you did in 2014, really no headway has been made to reduce that unfunded liability. Now there's a renewed push to reinstate DB pension system through House Bill 78. Why? We heard it's to address the issues of attracting and retaining employees. While we agree that problem is real, we don't think this is the solution. Our key concerns with House Bill 78 are the increased financial burden, fiscal burden. A return to defined benefits could cost Alaska upwards of $7 billion in additional unexpected expenses, risk we can't afford. The state has no money. Reinstating a DB pension plan could require the need for additional revenue at a time you all in the legislature are grappling with a structural budget deficit that, depending on the price of oil, is in the range of $1.5 billion a year. We see no proven benefit to recruitment and retention. Research, including the Reason Foundation working paper, shows that moving from DB to DC in 2005 didn't negatively impact recruitment and retention rates. Pulling data includes that the compensation and quality of life factors are much more significant. For example, most parents with kids would be much more interested
Thank
in
you,
job
Brett, for your 2 minutes of testimony. We will move to Anchorage, where we'll hear from Tina Kilkeela. Sorry for mispronouncing your name.
Hi, my name is Tina Kaikola. I'm from Anchorage, speaking for myself. I fully support House Bill 78. It's good for Alaska workers and our community. Many amazing educators are leaving the state yearly. Without a sustainable retirement, it's impossible for Alaska educators and public employees to stay here. We are the only state that doesn't allow educators to pay into Social Security and has no pension. I was born and raised in Alaska, moved away, and shortly came back, and now I may not be able to stay due to financial uncertainty due to basically non-reliable retirement system. I am saddened by our leaders not recognizing the importance of this bill and it helps to sustain our workforce and our community. Ideas like throwing out bonuses to recruit teachers doesn't work. They take the money and run, and why stay after being attacked year after year and not having a viable retirement? Instead, investing in public employee future will have long-term results. I would also like to comment to the gentleman that said he heard that younger workers are wanting a 401k. Totally disagree with this. Every single teacher that I know has left has been under the age of 30, and they've left to go to other states that offer a pension. I'm asking the support and pass House Bill 78 for Alaska future and for all of us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tina, for that testimony. We'll move to Chugach, where we'll hear from Jacob Bera. Jacob, please, 2 minutes of testimony.
My name is Jacob Bera. My wife and I are educators who live and work in Senator Merrick's district. I love the focus on how the state's actuary stated that the plan trusts are not projected to fall below 90% funded, or how HB 78 includes shared risks, multiple safeguards, and oversight to ensure the mistakes made by Mercer and others are not repeated. But instead, I'd like to share a few names, Katie and Isla, former students of mine who are now teachers and hoping this bill passes. Eliana, Finn, and Rhiannon, who are in college now studying to become educators. And finally, Mia, Olivia, Torin, Leo, Madison, and Bailey, high school students of mine right now who are participating in the Educators Rising program and hoping to one day become a teacher, hopefully here in Alaska. These names, along with thousands of my colleagues, are why I feel strongly about this issue, and you should too. For the past 19 years, I've watched too many educators leave because they just couldn't afford the risk of staying under the current system. The myth of younger people don't want pensions has not been the reality I've witnessed. I urge this committee to pass HB 78 and get this bill to the Senate floor. Let's give current and future public employees and my former students and current students a reason to work and stay here in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. We'll go to Fairbanks. Howard Maxwell, 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello. Thank you, Co-Chairs Olson, Stedman, and Hoffman, and thank you to all the honorable members of the committee for listening carefully to the last one today. The record is Howard Maxwell. I'm speaking for myself. I'm a retired teacher who taught in Fairbanks for 26 years. I could have worked for a much higher wage in the private sector, but I stayed as a teacher because of my retirement. I want to take a minute to share my thoughts on HB 78. First, most educators will stay in Alaska when they're incentivized to do so. It is clear to me the current DC system, in fact, does the opposite. The current DC plan encourages educators to work for 4 or 5 years and then cash out of the system, taking their contributions with them. So not only is our current system woefully insufficient, it in fact incentivizes educators to work for short amounts of time and then exit the state. With the incredibly high rate of turnover our schools are experiencing today, it's very clear that losing teachers and rehiring replacements is very costly from both a direct dollar standpoint and from the standpoint of educational outcomes. HB 78 is a very conservative defined benefits package. It does not include any cost for health care, and every one of you know the cost of health care. Secondly, the small amount of risk that is carried in this plan is shared between the employer and the employee. I personally know 6 different teachers who've packed it up and left our state over the past 10 years. Every single one of them said they loved Alaska, but they could not afford to stay here with no defined benefit retirement, no Social Security, and no SBS. I had a conversation this past summer with 2 different teachers who explained that they faced the very real danger of running out of money as seniors if they stayed working here. I get very frustrated when I hear opponents of this legislation argue that defined benefits retirement plans will not incentivize educators to stay in the state. With
Thank
all
you,
due respect, this is
Mr. Maxwell. We'll move on to Anchorage, where we'll hear from Dan McLean. Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Dan McLean, and I'm here representing myself in support of HB 78. I taught science at Service High School in the Anchorage School District since 2006. When I started teaching school at UAA, there was a pension, but by the time I graduated with a teaching certificate and a master's degree, there was only the Tier 3. So I both witnessed and been subjected to the full arc of a decline in teacher recruitment and retention caused by this defined contribution system. At first, the reputation of the generosity of the previous pension system prevented people from understanding just how bad the present TRS-3 is. Even 10 years ago, there was always there's only an opening maybe once every few years in our department. And then when there was an opening, you could usually get 10 or more qualified applicants to choose from. Now it's broad public knowledge just how poor the retirement in Alaska is. Now, when we have an opening, we only get about three outside AFD applicants, most of whom I would just call maybe marginally qualified. Every single existing teacher in my department, no matter how talented and dedicated they are, has a plan to leave. They all plan to leave because they have to. For all teachers in Alaska, there's no Social Security. The fine contribution for teachers is only about 60% of what other TRS employees and SBS are paid. With no defined benefit and no Social Security for teachers, the fine contribution system is the worst retirement system in all 50 states. And it's even worse what you get at any random job in the United States is paid Social Security. I hear people say that they don't want the state to take on the liability of the defined benefit. But HB 78, besides having stingier benefits than previous Alaska pensions, also has many circuit breakers of liabilities increased more than forecasted. There's everything from increased contributions for active employees to decreased cost of living increases. It also requires at least two actuaries to evaluate the system, so things are not destroyed by one bad actuarial analysis. It's most definitely not a return to the previous system. HB 78 has economic benefits that far exceed the $40 million first-year fiscal note. It stabilizes all aspects of
Alaska. Thank you, Dan, for your 2 minutes of testimony. We'll move on to Anchorage, stay in Anchorage, and hear from Andy Holyman. Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you to the chair and the committee. My name is Andy Holyman. I'm a retired Tier 2 teacher living in Senator Kaufman's district. I'm currently a member of the Anchorage School District Board and past president of AEA. I'm speaking on my own behalf, but this is something I've talked to a lot of public employees about over the years. This is actually the issue that got me politically involved in 2005, and it wasn't for concern about myself or about what future teachers wanted. It was because I knew that it would change who my colleagues would be, because I was going to be here a while. It would change who my son's teachers would be, and it did. It doesn't always happen, but I was right at the time. I was fortunate to get a job with ASD when that wasn't easy. Today, we don't really choose who our teachers are. They choose us. As an example, you have public safety officers that live out of state. Why would you do that? You do it because you don't have a choice in who you're hiring. If you get someone who's technically qualified, you have to take them because you can't find enough people to fill the positions. Evaluation for underperforming teachers is kind of pointless if you're unable to replace them. This has led to a degradation of the staff and the quality of teaching in this state. It's not about what the employee wants. It's about what we as a state need. We need the stability. We need to hold people here. We need to choose who works for us again. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay in Anchorage and hear from Crystal Berwick. Please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Chairperson and Committee. My name is Crystal Berwick, calling on behalf of myself in favor of HB 78 defined benefit system. I work as a caseworker for the Department of Revenue since 2022, and I have watched the revolving door of Tier 4s myself. I see the incentives that keep people with the state right now, the supplemental benefits plan. Employees just try to make it 5 years for the matching funds and then leave. It's a huge brain drain. It's penny-wise and dollar-dumb, and the turnover is so draining. The vacancies are untouched by the hiring freeze. I mean, who needs a hiring freeze when nobody wants a pensionless civil servant position? In my entry-level position, young people do want a pension, and the only people against a pension are convinced the system broke due to benefits being too good, when in reality it was, of course, the covered-up mismanagement in 2006 by Mercer. This is a 20-year experiment that has failed, and we need pensions to attract workers, and civil service is a sacrifice, but it is not martyrdom. So please pass HB 78 and put it to the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. Teresa Obermeyer, please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you so much, Senator Hoffman and colleague Teresa Obermeyer. I cannot understand a 53-page bill. I really have faith that you care about Alaska enough that we can have people that live here and become a stable environment. So right now, this is the most transient state in the United States. The other thing is I wanted to compliment Representative Cox and Senator Giesel for their leadership in making sure that this bill is before you. I also am afraid it's going to be overridden. You probably have to have at least a two-thirds or three-quarters vote in order to get it through the legislature. Please show leadership. Start realizing that we are being so ripped off in this state, and like S-Corp and forgive me, some of the oil industry giveaways. And I appreciate your hearing me, and thank you so kindly.
Thank you, Teresa, for your testimony. We'll go to Tacoma, Washington, where we'll hear from Jeffrey Berg. Please identify yourself and proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Committee members, for hearing my testimony. My name is Jeff Boo, and I'm calling in support of House Bill 78. I'm a firefighter paramedic who used to work at the Anchorage Fire Department, and after 11 years involved in the Alaskan Fire Service, I left for Tacoma Fire in Washington. Calling in today to say that I was born, raised, and gave my heart and soul to the Alaskan community, and I would still be there today if I had a reliable and dignified retirement system to support my family. As born in province, raised in the New Giles trailer with Port off Lake Otis, my family was involved in foster care and helped support dozens of at-risk youth through childhood and early adulthood. I started in fire service in 2011. We gave the Fire Explorers, a program that helped at-risk youth, teenagers, and young adults. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from UAA. I attended UAF, where I became a paramedic, and then joined AFP, where I stayed for 7 years before I left Tacoma. While in Anchorage, I immediately became an advisor in the Explorer post for 4 years, and then a president for two, leading the entire program. I was a trusted instructor at AFP, and I taught all of the academies after me. I'm a certified peer support member, helping firefighters navigate mental health challenges like PTSD, and I was a sole firefighter level member on the behavioral wellness committee. Then became a candidate to co-leader for the peer support team at ASD. My wife worked in drug and alcohol rehab facilities for about a decade, helping several families find sobriety and stability. Now that I work in Washington, I know I'm secure and the future of my family sits. I work less, I get paid more. We have strong statewide pensions for firefighters and police. They match a portion of our deferred comp. I'd also be an irresponsible friend if I didn't try to get as many people as I could from Anchorage to come work in Washington with me. I'll say it emphatically. My wife and I gave our heart and soul to our community. And we left it because staying in it, we couldn't support our two children. We're not a unique circumstance at AFD. We'd still be an anchor helping our community if there was a pension. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We'll go to Fairbanks, Danette Peterson. 2 minutes of testimony.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Danette Peterson. I live in Fairbanks, and I have been an educator for 20 years. I am a Tier 3 employee. It is critical to clarify what this bill is and what it is not. This is not a return to the old pension system. That misperception and fear have paralyzed many and have allowed them to dismiss this bill and not view it for what it truly is with fresh eyes. This is a modern, scaled-back, and fiscally responsible plan. Our current defined contribution system is failing its primary goal, retention. Here in Fairbanks, our teacher turnover is approximately 20%. One out of five teachers leave Fairbanks every year, and our district is saddled with the cost, expense, energy of recruiting and training and onboarding those new educators. That not only costs us fiscally, there are intangible costs. The morale, the understaffing, and the gains that we lose every year as we see quality educators, our colleagues, our friends, leave the state of Alaska for no reason other than pension. We have dismantled our stable workforce. Our teachers connect generations from one generation to the next. They nurture our future local and state leaders. These are intangible benefits that do not show up on a spreadsheet. I want to debunk the myth that younger educators don't want defined benefit. I'm also a mother of a 25-year-old and a 20-year-old, and that is absolutely what they talk about at the dinner table, their salary and their future financial security. I met with a teacher yesterday who was
Thank you, Heidi, for your 2 minutes of testimony. We'll go to Heidi Dragas in Anchorage, 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you. My name is Heidi Dragas. I am Executive Director of the Alaska State Employees Association, representing more than 8,000 public employees across Alaska. I'm also a lifelong Alaskan, the daughter of two proud public servants, and I have witnessed firsthand the weakening of our state workforce. Alaska has seen an unprecedented outmigration of workers for more than a decade. Growing up here, it was a point of pride to work for the state of Alaska. We took care of our workforce with livable rate wages and retirement security. The public sector used to be able to compete with the higher salaries in the private sector because of its superior health and retirement benefits. Fast forward to the present, and we struggle to recruit and retain workers, and it is taking a toll on our members. We are asking more of state employees now than we have in the past. Some employees are doing the work of two and three, sometimes more employees, because we lose employees faster than we can replace them. And our wages and retirement system no longer attract workers. Putting more money into a failed DC system will not solve the problem. It puts all the risk on our workers who are not investment experts, and it has fractured the social contract between public servants and the state that they honorably serve. Alaska and Oklahoma are the only two states in the country that do not provide a pension option for public employees. We have a big problem, and it's one that needs a bold solution. This legislature has faced many hard challenges over the course of this young state's life, and it has required our elected leaders to take brave and bold action in return. While the passage of HB 78 would be a bold step by this legislature, it is by no means a reckless one. This bill is sound. It has been stress tested and represents the very best aspects of the other pension systems we've studied. Defined benefits are how the public sector competes with the private sector for the best and brightest workers.
Thank you, Heidi, for your 2 minutes of testimony. The last two individuals are Lori Ortez and Mark Larson. Lori from Ketchikan, 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello, thank you for allowing me to make testimony today. My name is Lori Ortez in Ketchikan. I'm a retired teacher. I came to Ketchikan in 1984 to teach and stayed all of that time. Raising three more children to be teachers, actually. There's data that says that 17% of our new teachers left Alaska last year. When I came to teaching, not only did I stay all these years, and I'm tier one, so lucky for that, but many, many peers stayed and made our community and our state stronger. And I just really ask lawmakers to think long and hard about keeping teachers and providing this benefit, which ultimately benefits children when they have stability of their teachers from year to year, and, you know, the great goal of children becoming strong leaders. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And the last person that we will be hearing from is Mark Larson from Skagway. Sorry to anyone else that may be on the line, but Mark Larson, please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
Yes, again, thank you for letting me testify on this. I've been an employee of the state for the last 8 years, proud employee of the state, and I like the work, but unfortunately, it's really hard for me to justify taking the wage cut that I have to work for the state if the pension, you know, if I'm not going to get a good retirement. And at this point, that's become very important to me as I get older. And it's really important that we are able to hire new staff, and we need to be able to, you know, that staff needs to understand that the state has their back. And a pension is a good idea, a good start for getting the trust back to Alaska state employees.
Thank you for that testimony. Anyone else that may be out there or in the audience that would like to submit written testimony, we will be receiving that. We will hear from the prime sponsor in his closing comments. If you have any brief comments, Representative Kopp.
Thank you so much, Chair Hoffman. I think that the collective testimony really told the story of what's going on well in Alaska and why this reform effort is so important. We're not just looking at a cost. We're looking at an investment that actually has a net savings of $127 million a year to the state. The cost of instability is orders of magnitude more expensive than the investment that we're looking at. And we've heard the testimony of our own people, our own Alaskans in many vocations who are telling us in no uncertain terms what is important to turn this around. We believe this proposal is responsible. It's fiscally sustainable. Our own actuary has said it will not add $1 of unfunded liability to the state, that they model it on a 25-year horizon, including market corrections, and they don't even see the levers, which are the 90% required funding, and that actually require the employees and retirees to kick in more if they drop below that. They don't even see that happening because it is so structurally sound. So I appreciate the committee's consideration, listening to the testimony, and realizing this is transformationally different than our previous pension. And this is something brand new, and I believe it's a really important solution to the current instability that we are seeing in our workforce and the costs that continue to rise each year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Kopp. That closes the public hearing process. Senator Stedman.
Yeah, just a quick couple of brief points. We had a lot of good public testimony, and I really appreciate people calling in. But it's pretty apparent that there's a real lack of employers calling in all across our cities, all across our boroughs. We heard a lot from employees, so that is a concern. On the subject matter that there's six other pension plans that have an adjustment when it on contributions when it goes under 90%, of those six, four of them are under 90 as we speak, or at least they were under the last a year ago. We're pulling up that data now to see what the current fiscal year ending June 30th is. So to assure the Finance Committee that this can't go underfunded is a stretch. And I think Mr. Chairman will see that as our future discussions come out, that there is risk and volatility because there's just a lot of variables moving.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Any additional comments by members of the Senate Finance Committee? Set this bill aside. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We have four items on the agenda. HB 289, the appropriations for the supplemental. House Bill 194, approve the Marathon Petro Royalty oil sale. Senate Bill 104, vehicles, boats, transfer on death title, and finally Senate Bill 23, civics education. With that concludes today's work. We are adjourned till tomorrow morning.